Hello, and welcome to the second episode of the Bug in a Rug podcast. My name is Caitlin.
I'm Whitney.
And we are here once again to tell you a story that may or may not keep you up at night.
She's telling me the story even later than we recorded the last episode.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm a little nervous, literally on the edge of my seat.
This one is a little creepier. You did request true crime.
I did request true crime. I requested true crime. I'm excited.
Yes.
We might have to watch some cartoons or an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race after this.
Yes, we need to finish season 3.
We do need this. Hallelujah. And for those of you that don't know, we're not sponsored by RuPaul.
No.
Gosh, we wish on our second episode to have such a queen sponsoring us would be an honor.
So, before we get started, I said in the last one, but we have an Instagram and a Twitter, B-I-A-R podcast. Go, follow, look, link. I'll post pictures of this story and the last story that we did. We also have a website. It is called buginarug.podbean.com. You can go to that and see the episodes that we post.
You can see all the episodes and probably more content. I have nothing to do with these websites.
It's not that fancy because I have to do it by myself. And I don't know what I'm doing. We're going to have to hire somebody. Just kidding. We don't have that kind of money.
No, we don't. Because RuPaul isn't sponsoring us.
Okay. I'll just keep YouTube in it. It's fine.
YouTube, they can't post anything on YouTube that's not true.
That's not true.
I just said it is.
We're not on YouTube.
We could be. We could video record this.
No, because then I'd have to get a camera. I'd have to get a stand. I'd have to learn how to edit videos. I can't do that.
Everybody would see the cats walking around the table while we record,
yeah. And then they won't be like, oh, what's that weird sound? Just kidding. I mentioned it in the last episode, so we're fine. All right. Are you ready?
As ready as I'm going to be. A little creeped out or a lot creeped out?
I don't know. I think I read about it so much today that I'm not super creeped out anymore, but it was still pretty chilling.
So if this is your first time joining us or your second, either way, there's only two options. But Caitlin has put together a true crime story for me today. I gave her the topic of true crime, but I have no idea what specific story she's going to be telling me about.
And thank goodness I researched true crime. So this story is about Katarzyna Zawada.
What a beautiful name.
I really like her first name. I do. Now, just so we know, at the beginning of this, I'm just going to say right now, one, this takes place in Poland.
Okay.
And many of the articles that I did read, I had to Google Translate from Polish to English. I tried to figure out, because sometimes, like, Google Translate doesn't get it, like, exactly right, obviously.
Right.
And so I tried to pick out the pieces as best I could that made sense, and that I think were correct based on other articles that I had read that were written in English, if that makes sense.
Okay, so you really worked hard piecing this thing together for us today.
Yes, so surprisingly, this wasn't a huge story. The cat is back on the table, if you can hear that.
Crinkle tinkles, like I'm feeling
so sorry
all over my body in anticipation for this story.
So this didn't get a lot of coverage in the United States, obviously, even though it is actually like a very, like, I don't understand why. And once you hear it, you'll be able to tell, like you'll be as confused as I am as, like, why it didn't get, like, international attention. And that comes to my second point, is that this does involve a gruesome, gruesome crime. So if you can't handle that, like, you don't have to listen to this. Like, I understand. The beginning of it isn't going to, it doesn't really get into it. I have a little bit of background first, so if you want to keep listening, but then there's going to be a part where it does get a little gruesome.
And
so
I'm
just want to warn you now.
You'll give us something like, warning, before
I get
into gruesome
part. I can. That's a good idea. I will say something before, just so if you listen to the beginning, we can, you know, get past that part.
Yeah.
I can do that. That's a good idea. All right, so are you ready?
As ready as I'm gonna be.
All right, here we go. So, as a little teaser, this is also known as the skin case.
oh, I'm not ready anymore.
Right, exactly. Okay, so Katarzyna Zawada, I'll probably call her Katarzyna. I won't use her last name as much, just because that's what I did in my notes. She was born on June 1st, 1976 in Krakow, Poland. Krakow, I think. Again, yeah. I might mispronounce some of these things. I'm trying my best. She was an only child to her parents, so there's not a lot of information about her childhood. There's really nothing that I could find. We jump to the 1990s. Katarzyna began to attend a specific university. I think it was near the area because I believe she lived with her parents all through or up until she went to university.
Okay, yeah.
So during her time at university, she changed her major several times. She started as a psychology major, went to a history major, and then was currently studying religious studies at the time that this crime had happened.
I mean, a lot of people change their majors. That's a common thing.
Different.
All around the world, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, everybody does it. If you don't like something, you know, sometimes you don't know. You go into it, you change your mind. It's totally normal. What may or may not have been normal is that it stated in several places that she would stop attending classes when she was thinking about declaring a new major. So it seemed to be a pattern for, like, when she switched to history and then when she switched to religious studies, that she would get in her mind that she didn't want to do it anymore and then she would just stop attending classes. Now, okay. Nobody knows if this is connected. Like I said, there's not a ton of information about it, but a couple sources said it seemed like that was what was happening.
Okay.
But, I mean, not strange. I mean, you're not going to want to take those classes. They're not needed for your major. I get it.
Right.
So, during her time at university, many classmates referred to her as a nice person, but she was very shy and mysterious. They honestly couldn't say much about her because she just kept to herself. The only major thing about her that was consistently brought up in all the articles that I saw was that she was a Grateful Dead fan. So that was like the only major detail, which I thought was very, not that the Grateful Dead detail was very strange, but that was the only one that they could bring up about her.
A true fan.
I mean, yeah, it comes out later, but she would go to different places that would have, you know, Grateful Dead, and she was friends with people who introduced her to it. So it makes sense.
Okay.
So although she was very reserved at school, she seemed to be very outgoing when she was around her parents. Her father instilled in her the love of nature. So sometime during the late 1995 or early 1996, I'm not sure of a date on this, Katarzyna convinced her father to go on a joint expedition in the mountains with her. So they just went on a little hiking trip together because they like to hike, they like the nature. So unfortunately, during this hiking trip, her father slipped and fell, which caused injury to his spine. Now, I couldn't find any further details about this injury, but he did hurt his spine somehow.
Ooh, that can cause a lot of problems.
Depending on what happened, right? Absolutely. And I don't know what happened, but I just know he fell, he hurt his spine. So, on January 19th, 1996, unfortunately, her father passed away due to a serious illness.
Aww.
Right, so there's no specific details about the illness that I could find that any of the reports stated. However, it was said that Katarzyna believed that his death was related to the hiking accident he had when they were on their trip. Is that possible? Like,
well, it just depends, you know, on the severity of it. If he was, you know, in bed due to complications from his injury, anytime you're in bed for a long period of time, you're more susceptible to a lot of different things. Illness. Blood clots, right. Different illnesses, you know, just a host of different things could have happened, and we don't have that information. But, I mean, it's absolutely possible. Right. Or it could just be, you know,
A coincidence that happened.
Right, absolutely. And she could blame herself just because, you know, one thing led to another. And
right. I think I don't know the date on the hiking trip, but I think it was close enough that that's what she thought, that it was connected.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually caused her to, you know, blame herself for his death, and so she fell into depression.
Yeah.
So she started going to a psychiatric clinic in Nawahuta to help with her depression while she continued with school. So thankfully she was getting some help for it. You know, she was seeking out, you know, professional help in order to see if she could get a little better. So this jumps to on November 12th, 1998, Katarzyna actually had an appointment at this psychiatric clinic. She had planned to attend it with her mother. To her mother's worry, Katarzyna actually did not make it to her appointment, and this was very unusual. Her mother went to the police and filed a missing persons report with the police later that day. This is where it gets to me, and I'm laughing because I'm actually really mad about this part of the story. The mom wasn't taken seriously by the police.
Wow.
They said they chalked it up to her going off with friends and they thought she'd come back in a few days, is what they told her. To give them the benefit of the doubt, although I don't because I think that's crazy, they connected the mother to a private detective. I cannot pronounce his name. His last name is spelled B-O-H-O-S-I-E-W-I-C-Z.
Oh.
Bohosiewicz?
Possibly.
Possibly. So they connected them to him to see if he could help. And they, a lot of people thought that they did this because there was another high-profile case going at the time. I only found this in one source. I found in many sources that she was either told to come back later or said that her daughter had probably gone off with her friends or whatever. But the one case that I, or the one source that I saw said that it was possibly because an Italian soccer player had a knife thrown at him during a match or something like that. An athlete had, you know, was attacked. And it was getting a lot of media attention, and the police were preoccupied with finding that perpetrator. So they kind of were like, oh, she'll come back in a few days. Here's this detective's name. Which, I mean, I get, but at the same time, you know, you can't, you can never turn away somebody that is worried about their... But again, I don't know what happened, so I don't know.
Right. And unfortunately, you know, you hear about that a lot for anybody who listens to other, like, true crime podcasts or anything like that. It's a lot of times if it's a younger person... People say, oh, they probably went off with their friends for a few days.
Right.
Oh, their phone probably died. Something like that. And usually the family member will tell you, no, that's not like them.
Right.
They're usually very punctual. Mm-hmm. Things like this. That's not something they would do. And it seems like in this case, the mom knew.
Yeah.
Something wasn't right.
Absolutely. And it depends, I think, on their age, too. Because sometimes if you're, what, 18 probably, or I don't know, even 16 maybe, they could be like, well, they're technically not... a child, so it's not unusual. Like, they can go off on their own. Like, you're 18, you're an adult. Like, you can do... I don't know how old she was at this time.
Yeah.
I think she was in her... She was 23, I believe, actually. So maybe they were like, oh, no, she's an adult. Like, she can get places and not tell you.
And we also don't know how things work in Poland with the legal system.
Exactly.
And, you know, in some places, you have to wait so many hours before you can file a missing persons report, depending on the age. Not for kids, obviously. For kids, you know,
but depending
it's, like,
on
right
how
away.
Older people, yeah, yeah. So I don't really know what happened. Anyway, she was connected to this private detective. This private detective had several leads that he tried to follow up on. Nothing really came of it. Some people thought she might be in a place called Zakopane. Again, don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Somebody said she saw her on a bus to Wallbrum. Someone said they saw her going into a certain cemetery. So it was kind of all over the place, and he tried to follow up on them. Nothing really turned up about it. The one site that I saw, they interviewed him, and he seemed like a very nice guy in the interview. And he said he tried his best, but, you know, it's bouncing all over the place. You can't, it's one person. He followed up. Nothing came up of it. You know, he tried his best, is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Tried all he could do. So, this is the warning.
Warning.
This might be a little
warning.
Gruesome or shocking for some people. So, if you are sensitive to that, you know.
Skip forward.
Skip ahead a little bit. So, there wasn't a break in the case for several months. When finally came, basically shocked everyone. So, on January 6th, 1999, Captain M-I-E-C-Z-Y-S-L-A-W. I'll call him M. Now, a lot of these, they don't use their last name either, so I'm pronouncing their first name. I think it's for privacy reasons.
Most likely.
So I'll call him M. So he was sailing his barge, the Loss, in English, I believe it's the Elk, that's what I saw, in the Vistula River. So it flows basically through Krakow, where she is
through
from.
Through the city.
Basically through it, or right next to it. So while sailing, something got caught in the propeller of the ship. He was... you know, in a barge, tugboat type thing. It wasn't a huge boat. It was a smaller one. So something got caught in the propeller of the ship. This wasn't unusual. Various debris can get caught in the propeller. So at first they were like, oh, maybe it's, you know, trash, a log.
Yeah, but this is a true crime story.
Right. So you know it's not going to be great. So there is two different stories that I saw. One is that it was nighttime and he parked the boat and came back in the morning because he couldn't see anything. And the other one was that it wasn't nighttime and he looked that day. I don't know.
Okay.
Either way, he looked to see what had happened and he found what seemed to be human remains.
Oh.
So, called police up, obviously. It was actually determined that it wasn't a whole body. It was actually just skin.
Just skin.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, so just skin had been caught in the propeller, and many actually thought at first that the propeller could have ripped the skin, like a body got caught in it,
right,
ripped skin off somehow. But this was quickly determined that that was not what had happened. So reports state that the skin, when they investigated it further, it had been deliberately and neatly cut away at the thighs and neck, reaching up to her left ear. Now, people thought this looked like a skin suit.
Oh.
So, it did not include her face or her arms.
Ooh, I got chills.
In fact, her limbs and head had been dismembered and were not found.
Okay, so there wasn't the skin of the limbs, then.
I believe it was just torso, no face, so up to the ears.
Right.
All the way down to the legs. Now, her legs were eventually recovered, I believe, in the same river. I don't think at the same time. Arms and head were never recovered.
Okay.
So they did DNA testing, and it did turn out that it was Katarzyna, unfortunately.
That was my next question, was how did they determine who the victim was?
DNA testing.
DNA testing.
I think it was around at that time. I mean, it's almost 2000, so.
Right.
I mean,
we have minimal, that technology.
But, right, exactly. And this case is actually, as we'll go on, you'll see it's a big, it's very sad, but the case is eventually solved because of forensic advancements, which is like awesome.
Yeah.
For her mother, who obviously was grieving at the time.
Absolutely.
So the skin was to have been determined floating in the river for a few weeks. With a search, pieces of her clothing were found, but like I said, nothing else was recovered at the time. Her legs were eventually recovered. They went into the river multiple times, only found her legs, never her arms or her head. So this became really big news in Poland because many connected it with the movie The Silence of the Lambs.
Oh,
because he wanted
a skin suit.
Right. Mm-hmm. So a lot of, that's why it became known as the skin case. Right. A lot of people thought that this person wanted to wear her skin as a suit. So that's why it became famous in Poland, which is why I'm surprised it didn't become more famous
worldwide, because that's a popular movie in the United States.
Right, I mean, we've watched it.
We've watched it, and we weren't,
I mean, I don't know,
that old at the time that this case would have happened.
So I was, I mean, I would have been a little, but, like, I don't know. It's just surprising to me that
it didn't gain more media attention.
Exactly. So, since Katarzyna was so reserved, she didn't have many people that she was friends with. So there were a couple people that they tried to talk to. Anna G. Was one of these persons. The one article that I read, they tried to interview her, and she just, like, was declining. She didn't want anything to do with it. Now, of course, it's, like, horrific to know that your friend.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I don't know if I would want an interview or not. But she supposedly knew her from high school and introduced her to the Grateful Dead. She was the one that introduced her. She had been mostly silent on the topic again, denied interviews again. Don't blame her, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Another friend was named Ula. There was not much information about them. They weren't suspects or anything, but they basically told police that Katarzyna had been going to a club. One of them had taken her to a club to see Grateful Dead. I think they had records, see performances, not of the Grateful Dead, people, you know, bands,
probably cover
things like
bands.
That. Right, exactly. So at this club, she apparently met a man named Conrad or Jacob. I don't know if it's the same person.
Right.
I will be calling him Conrad.
The
I don't
translation.
Know. In Polish, right. I don't know if, because it said Conrad or Jacob, and then it went back and forth. It's the same person, so. They said someone had stated it was like Conrad's ex-girlfriend or something. Someone related that knew both parties, not well from what I could tell, had stated that Katarzyna had fallen in love with him, but the feelings were not mutual. Now, this kind of brings us into our suspects, because police thought that this could be a plausible motive. You know, she was...
unrequited love.
Right. She was too close to him. I don't know. It didn't really make sense to me.
Right.
But Conrad's stepfather was a police officer, so they thought, okay, maybe she was getting too close. Mm-hmm. Something happened. The stepfather, you know, covered up something. So they were kind of suspects together. The stepfather allegedly kept asking questions about the case, but also, like, he was a police officer there. It was a huge case in Poland. Like,
right.
I can't blame him for asking questions. You know what I mean? So it was kind of like a tiptoeing thing, like, okay, maybe it makes sense, but it didn't quite make sense to me that he would do anything.
And at the same time, they didn't have a lot to go on. So they're following every lead they can, it sounds like, and this is a possible lead.
Right, right, exactly. So this led them to another person, Tadeusz, T-A-D-E-U-S-Z. I'll call him T. Again, I don't know the pronunciations. I apologize. So he was the manager of this club at the time. Again, there wasn't much evidence against him. It was kind of like, which is kind of sad, they thought that the police were using these two as scapegoats in a way because they wanted to, I mean, it was a horrific crime. It was a horrific murder.
They had to point the finger somewhere, or at least seem like they were doing something.
Exactly. Right. And they knew she had connections to this club. They knew they were working there at the time.
Right.
The one article that I read, they tried to interview T later. They thought he seemed very suspicious. I don't know, though, because there seemed to be no evidence that pointed towards him.
Right, and what do you say when you're being interviewed about something as horrific as this crime?
Exactly. So there were a few other suspects. There was an unnamed man that often walked along the Vistula River. He was focused on for a while because he had been basically charged with molestation of another younger woman earlier. He was excluded from the suspect list later on. I think DNA evidence struck him. On May 31st. Now, this kind of goes into a sub-story, but it comes back to suspect.
Okay.
So, on May 31st, 1999, an elderly man called the police and told them there had been a murder at his house. When the police arrived, they discovered that a student from Russia, Vladimir W., had killed his father. The man who had called the police was Vladimir's grandfather.
Hmm.
So, Vladimir had murdered his father, removed his head, and then proceeded to skin the face. He wore the skin as a mask in his father's clothes for a whole day in front of his grandfather, who couldn't see very well.
Oh, so it's very...
So it's very similar...
Right.
Decapitated, skinned. But the motive for him to do this to his father was that he hated his father because his father cheated on his mother. So it was kind of different.
But still, in a city, or in a city, if it's in the same city... You know, you have to wonder, these crimes don't happen that often.
Right.
Even with, you know, Silence of the Lambs being popular at the time.
Yeah, you don't think more than one... You hope no more than one person doesn't... Yeah. So he was put on the suspect list for a very long time. He denied knowing about it and knowing her doing the crime at all. They thought it was similar because they had both attended the same school as well, which, like, connected the two. But according to Vladimir, he began school a year before Katarzyna, and he had dropped out. So they had never actually gone to school at the same time.
Okay.
So he never confessed to the murders, but he is either currently in jail or he had just... If he had gotten out, it'd be very recently, maybe. Mm-hmm. But he had gone... I think he had got sent back to Russia, and then he was in jail. He had got, like, a 25-year sentence, which I thought was crazy. But, so he was a suspect for a while. But then it was also thought that Katarzyna could have met someone. I mean, she had been skipping class weeks up to her disappearance, which could have been strange, or she could have been thinking about changing her major. We don't know. You know, she would have done that before.
And we're not entirely sure because she was a shy, reserved person. She didn't have a lot of really close friends.
Exactly. She had allegedly dyed her hair, though, lost weight, and changed her clothing style, also leading up to the disappearance. So this brought into suspect another man called Robert J. When people... It was kind of strange. When people heard of what happened to Katarzyna, a lot of people actually immediately thought of him because... some people thought that this was the person that she had met, the strange someone that she was seeing.
At the club that she had fallen in love with, possibly?
No. The person she had fallen in love with was Conrad. He worked at the club. This was like a completely different person some people were like, maybe she met somebody and ran off or met somebody strange.
This is a totally different theory that people were like, maybe she had a boyfriend
and ran off. This is a totally different suspect.
Gotcha.
So people claim that they had seen these two together, so they thought maybe they were in a relationship, something went wrong. A lot of people thought Robert J. was very strange and creepy. A lot of people thought, and some of the reports that I saw thought that he could have done it. So he became a big suspect. So he was actually the son of poet Joseph J. When he was young, they were subjected to psychological and physical violence. And neighbors reported that after this, when he grew up being exposed to all that, he hated women, was a peeping Tom, and he regularly followed and tormented women. I mean,
he has a background that could breed a murderer.
Right. So some other quick facts about him that put him on the suspect list. So at the time of the murder, Robert was trained in martial arts. So he had actually previously held positions at a dissecting lab in the Krakow Institute of Zoology. In the dissecting lab, he dealt with human corpses, and at the Institute of Zoology, he observed the process of preparing animal skins. So probably necropsies and things like that as well. So he was actually terminated from the Institute of Zoology, the Krakow Institute of Zoology, because a rabbit was killed during his shift and he couldn't explain what happened.
Interesting.
He was put on the suspect list. He kind of dings a lot of the, you know, ticks a lot of the boxes.
Right. He has a background that would make him a candidate that police would really be looking into just from the sounds of it.
Right. In 2000, DNA was discovered on Katarzyna's body. This did not match any known suspects at the time, or sexual offenders that were in the area, known in the area. So the case was actually not closed. It said it was discontinued in 2001.
Until they had any more leads, most likely.
Right. So thanks to advancements in the field of forensic research, the case was reopened and reexamined in 2012.
Okay.
So experts from the 3D expertise laboratory of the Rocklaw Medical University created a model of injuries inflicted on the victim. They concluded that a sharp tool was used to inflict wounds on Katarzyna's neck, armpit, and groin, which caused her to bleed to death. So, essentially, they came up with the theory that they thought she was tortured before she died, which is, like, again, horrific.
Absolutely.
So, another group, the Institute of Forensic Studies from the Provincial Police Headquarters in Krakow, found plant remains that, quote, did not come from aquatic environment, and the occurrence of the plant is limited only to certain places. So they thought that maybe this could clue in on, you know, where it might have happened. It wasn't in the river, but the body just got dumped in the river.
Right, she was killed somewhere else, and these plants could be the clue that they needed, hopefully.
Right, exactly. So nothing really came from it. They had some more clues, but they couldn't pin down anybody. So in 2014, the case had experts from Southern Europe and the FBI appointed to the case to dig deeper once again. So they created a psychological profile of the suspect, saying they had that the suspect had sadistic tendencies and was most likely seen as harmless to most people. Probably creepy, but harmless to most people.
Right.
So in 2016, investigators talked to University of Coimbra professor Duarte Nuno Vieira, who was a Portuguese specialist in forensics and UN expert in the field of signs of torture. So he confirmed that Katarzyna had been tortured before her death, so confirmed suspicions that were brought up before. And he also confirmed that the perpetrator was most likely trained in martial arts.
Oh, that leads us back to Robert.
So it wasn't specified, like, what led him to that conclusion. Don't think it was released. But it basically said, like, the injuries that were inflicted kind of went with one specific type of martial arts.
Probably a different pattern of striking.
Right. Exactly. And where and how hard. And right. That's what I thought, too. It just didn't specify the kind or anything like that. So, with all this new information that had come out, they you know, looked back over and back over and back over the case. So, on October 4th, 2017, a suspect was finally arrested for the murder of Katarzyna. 52-year-old Robert J. was arrested in Krakow. Police detained him after a letter from the suspect's friend was reported. So, they had all of this evidence, you know, that potentially pointed to him.
Right.
All of his background information, you know, he he knew how to skin animals, or at least saw the process. Martial arts. He was known to be very creepy. Did she meet him? It was suspected that she did know him before this. And then this letter came up. Now, this letter was never disclosed to the public by the police. However, allegedly, he described the murder of her in a journal that he had written, and possibly the letter, that's what people think was in it, mm-hmm. and even possibly to a priest. So after all of this had happened, he had actually gone to, I forget what the church's name was, but he started going to some church or
But he went order. To confession of some kind and...
Right. And a lot of people think that he confessed it to a priest. The priest never said anything. I don't know.
Right. Can you? I don't know.
Exactly. I don't know. And that's alleged. That's, nobody really knows that for sure. Right. That's just what people think. He was charged with aggravated murder with particular cruelty. So the Court of Appeal agreed to extend his detention until September 6, 2018, while investigators gathered evidence. And as of September 2019, Robert J. has not yet been released. Investigators requested a closed trial. So I don't even know if he's had his trial yet. He might have.
Well, if they requested a... Well, if they requested a closed trial, it just means it's not open to the public. Right. So eventually the report will be released about what his finding is, but there won't be media coverage allowed in the trial. Oh,
and I also saw an article, I didn't write this one down, but I also saw an article that he had reported and tried to say that he was experiencing, I forget what it was. It was essentially like, not bullying, because you can't really like say that, but mm-hmm. bad treatment by other inmates and police officers or workers where he was being mm-hmm. held, but it found out it was a lie, so he also got that put on his, he was being charged with,
not really obstruction. Oh, what's it called?
Yeah, but it was,
falsifying a report.
Yeah, that was it. Falsifying a report and, like, say, about a police officer, like, lying mm-hmm. about a report or whatever. So that was also, so that also could delay added it a little to, bit, so right. it added to it a little bit.
Adds to the charges and adds to the list of things that they're going to have to try him with when they eventually try him.
Right, exactly. So that's where we're right now with story. When I first saw it, I didn't expect to have an answer, but then I kept researching and I was like, oh my, like, this is like recent news mm-hmm. for this. So I was very happy that I actually found
it. Which, you know, it's not a complete answer, but as of right now, something, all I guess. Signs point right. to this gentleman. Guy.
Right. I mean... He has it all, so I'm thinking, I don't know. Now, the most evidence was against him, excuse me, and so I'm assuming, you know,
so it's one of those, we'll wait and see how the trial goes. It might be something where we're all, you know, keeping our eyes on the Polish news for the next couple months anyway. It might be a while, though, especially if they're adding new...
Charges
to his case.
Trying to get a case against him. Yeah, I'm sure it's not going to be right away.
Right.
But, yeah, I was just happy for the mom. I mean, it's terrible to lose your husband and then, you know, your daughter goes missing. And for years, she had no idea. And now she at least has some sort of an answer.
Right. A little bit of closure.
Right.
Most likely. I mean, he probably won't ever confess to it so that she knows for sure. But as of right now, hopefully she's able to have a little bit of peace.
Right. Exactly. So, seemed a bit crazy. But, so now that the story is over, do you think that this will keep you up at night? Or will you still be able to sleep as snug as a bug in a rug?
It's probably going to keep me up at night, at least a little bit. The skin suit thing got me. It wasn't just the murder, but the idea of actually having skin detached from a body. I can't fathom it.
Skin, right.
I can't fathom just the skin. Well, and what got me,
too, is this story, but this then within this story was a suspect who had also skinned somebody, too.
And it wasn't even the guy that the investigation's now centered on. Two different people.
And so, like, I thought that was crazy. And, like, so it was, like, a mini story inside a story. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. And I can't. I mean, I'm glad they got somebody for it. I think it really points to him. I do. The evidence that I saw, it seems like he did it. He was in the area at the time. You know, everything kind of points to him. So that makes me feel a little bit better. But just to know that, like...
And I'm assuming the gentleman who killed his father is already going to be behind bars.
Yeah, for he a was good in jail. He was sentenced. So, seemed crazy to me, this story. And I had never heard of it, so I thought it was very interesting.
I'm surprised it didn't get more attention than it did, but I'm glad that you shared it with me. It's something very unexpected.
Right.
Definitely gave me chills. At one point, I actually said, oh, I have chills now.
Yeah, it's creepy. A couple other places that I did see this, on some of the articles that I read, they highlight certain channels on YouTube that actually do short episodes. One is called Exit Light. It did a short episode about it. It's like 10 minutes. So if you want to know for more information, just, you know, get a recap, see what they have to say. Check it out on YouTube. And also Loey Bug on YouTube. I've watched her channel before. I actually really like her. I think she does a good job with the videos that she does. And also the podcast Strange Matters covers this case as well. I did not listen to them. Maybe I should. I don't know. I'll have to get feedback on that. I don't want to copy anybody, so I try not to. I try to just
do your get information right. See how it goes.
But I do want to say other places that do have it in case you are very, very interested in the case. You can go and look at those
right
places.
Other takes on it, other reactions, right. And they might have more details that we didn't cover.
Right, exactly.
A different view of things.
Yeah. So
okay, well, listeners, as we've said before on our previous episode, we'd love to hear what you think, if this story is going to keep you up at night, as I know it will me, at least for one night.
Yeah.
Or if you're still going to be able to sleep as snug as a bug in a rug.
So thanks for listening. I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Whitney.
Bye.
Sleep tight.